Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
First and foremost, the family, yourself, everybody in your area, how have you been doing physically, mentally, during these tough periods?
Oh, I mean, physically, everything's good. Family's good. You know, laying low and all that stuff. I mean, I'm sure I'm with everybody else on the mental side of it where it's, you know, it gets a little old just kind of sitting around not doing anything. So, you know, hopefully we can kind of get some life back into everybody and get back going doing what we're used to doing.
Do you do any active farming, John? You doing any work on your farm these days as you've had all this time on your hands?
I haven't done anything at the farm, no. I actually just went down there yesterday, took the boys down there fishing and kind of putted around down there. But we got like a little garden in the backyard I've been messing around with and doing that. But no, nothing down on the farm. I got the people that know what the heck they're doing that and taking care of that for me.
John, as fans of the games, first and foremost, we're all fans, whether you play or you broadcast or you watch it. We love the game. What should fans, you being a veteran of so many years and negotiations that you've seen between players and owners, what should we as fans pay attention to when we hear posturing going on both sides and the intricacies of being able to return to a normal half season of baseball?
Well, I think the biggest thing, and I mean, I'm guilty of it just like everybody else, is you can't believe everything that's put out there. You know, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we had stuff being leaked that, you know, wasn't even presented to the players yet. So, There's just a lot of stuff. I think people have a lot of time, obviously, on their hands to, I don't want to say fabricate stories, but, you know, really try to dig and find things, possible leaks and so forth. So I think the biggest thing is you can't believe every little word that's written about either side. You know, I think either side right now has been great. You know, we're really trying to work towards an agreement to get this thing going. I think everybody's main concern is the safety. You know, the other stuff we can kind of figure out as we go, but, you know, players and owners and all this stuff, doctors, everybody wants to be safe. So we don't want to rush into this thing and start risking, you know, health. So not only health based on, you know, this pandemic, but health, you know, physically for the player when it comes to, you know, shortened spring training and trying to get revved up for a season, you know, that fast. So I think that's the main thing that players are focusing on, owners are focusing on, is the health. And then, you know, obviously the other stuff will fall when we can kind of figure out the testing and so forth.
Hey, John, the 67-page document with all the safety protocols and how baseball might do the testing and how it might look, it was daunting, and it seemed extremely thorough. Wondering how that was received from your perspective, if you thought MLB was looking out for your safety as it went through that, and you personally as a cancer survivor, how you're feeling about you know, the level of safety that the game will be able to provide to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think everybody's, like I said, everybody's main concern is safety. And anytime you get a group of people in a room or on a phone call or on a Zoom call or whatever it may be, you're going to have a million different opinions and a million different questions. So when that was laid in front of us, and then you hear all the information, you're immediately going to have questions. And sometimes you have the same question as another guy, you just word it differently. So it takes a while to get through this stuff. It's not just going to happen overnight. But like I said, MLB, from the owner's side of it to the player side of it, we're bending over backwards to try to get this health side of it figured out. You know, we have our own testing facility, so we're not taking anything away from the public as far as that. So I think there's a lot of positives in it. It's just, like I said, you get all these players and all these owners on phone calls and stuff like that. You're going to have a million different questions that people have to or want to get answered in order to move forward.
That's the voice of John Lester. This is Inside the Clubhouse with Matt Spiegel and Bruce Levine. We're here for you every week, 52 weeks out of the year, talking baseball from 9 to 11. John, what are the personal challenges of John Lester after going through one spring training and now the reality of another for 3 weeks, getting back to baseball at your age and your experience without having left some things behind in the first spring training and moving forward to the unknown of an 82-game season?
I think the biggest challenge is just the unknown. You know, we've had some phone calls with, you know, with Rossi and other players and, you know, our pitching coach, Tommy, you know, and that's really everybody's concern. But for me, especially, I just don't want to get ramped up for an unknown date and, you know, kind of have to turn it back down. So it's a fine line of keeping the arm moving, playing some catch, doing some things, you know, not necessarily, you know, maybe getting off the mound right this second. But I think you just, once we get this date, then you can kind of, you know, I've been doing enough stuff to be able to build. And I feel like you're just kind of, you know, mentally waiting for that date. And once that date hits, it's like, okay, now I go. So that's been kind of the challenge, is just is balancing the unknown of, you know, every year you work towards February 14th or February 18th or whatever it is for spring training. So you have that date, that end date in mind, you know, when you're working out in November or December and you're throwing in January, like, okay, I'm building towards this date. You know, right now there's no date to build towards. So it's kind of, you know, that unknown is kind of throwing you off mentally. It's like you can't really get after it. You can't really prepare like you would for normal spring training. You know, that being said, when you get there, whatever that date may be, you know, I know, you know, our medical staff, our coaching staff, we're all going to be erring on the side of caution to get guys ramped up. So, you know, we definitely don't want to be coming in first day and throwing an inning or two innings or whatever to hitters, and now you're pushing yourself back where you possibly can't even play 81 games or 82 games. So there's just that fine line, and I think, like I said, the biggest thing is just the unknown.
And John, it's been so crazy to realize how unique and individual everybody's situation is in terms of what they can do to be ready. You know, we've talked to some pitchers who have a net in the backyard, and some pitchers have a mound in the backyard, and some guys don't. You know, what's your setup at home? Do you have enough stuff to do anything you want to do? Do you have somebody who could catch you if you wanted to throw off the mound at full strength at some point?
Yeah, I got enough stuff downstairs in my house to take care of what I need to take care of and stay where I need to stay as far as strength-wise, you know, going into a spring training. So I've got that, you know, that benefit. And I do have a kid that I've thrown to probably the last, well, since I moved up to Atlanta, 5 years or so. And he actually just took a job with last year with the Dodgers as a bullpen catcher. So I got a catcher I can throw to and throw off the mound. And there's a local high school up here that we go and play catch in the football field and baseball field. So, you know, it's nice being down in Atlanta and having the weather and having the opportunity to get outside and still, you know, be safe, but also get your work done.
John, how can baseball better market baseball players? Now, I've been, you know, I worry about the sport. I worry about, you know, the fact that other sports continue to market their players in a better fashion. I've heard from people in ownership and front offices saying that the arbitration system works against baseball because of the fact that that can be used if a player is marketed to a high level on certain teams. What are some of your thoughts about how baseball can better sell itself during games themselves and in general to make the players more interesting and also more more present in people's lives?
You know, Bruce, I don't know. You know, I think that's really an individual thing. You know, I know it took me a long time to kind of let my guard down and let some people in and do some different interviews and do some different things, allow people to come to the farm. You know, 7-8 years ago, I probably wouldn't have done that. So I think it's an individual thing. I think now, too, there's so much social media, there's so much of your own branding that, you know, guys are kind of doing it on their own. They don't need a baseball team to do that. They don't need the Chicago Cubs to do that for them. You know, and just like any other sport, you know, you have the stars. You have the guys that draw the attention of the camera for whatever reason, whether they be, you know, the better players of the team or just a more personality type player. You know, whatever that may be, like I said, I think it's an individual thing. I think anytime a team tries to do something, it comes across to the players as kind of forced, uncomfortable. You know, I think if you allow the player to be themselves and to kind of have their own ideas and then the team go along with them, I think you're going to get, you know, more of that, of what that player or that individual is actually like. You know, I know they've started miking guys up during spring training games. You know, that's a perfect time to do it because it is a little more relaxed during a regular season. I don't think, you know, I know for me on a personal level, if I'm pitching and I got, you know, player A over here on a microphone talking to some analyst during a game, I don't really feel like he's focused in everything he needs to do in a regular season game. You see what I'm saying? Like, so there's like a fine line there of getting that involved. You know, like I said, I think number one is the individual, is the player, the person himself, and what he wants to do to market himself, to brand himself in the game.
I think that's wise. I think that the guys who are willing to share and are expressive should be encouraged, as opposed to trying to drag everybody up to a certain level. That makes a lot of sense. What the game can control is maybe a rule here or there to make the game more interesting. I miss action, John. I don't know about you, but I miss balls in play, as opposed to home runs or strikeouts. And do you think the game would be served by trying to find a way to tweak a couple of things to give us more action, more fielders moving around, more runners running around the bases?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they kind of tried that with the new baseball that they won't admit that they put in play. And then that produced more home runs. So, you know, now you've got, I think their intentions were to do that, were to allow more balls in play. But then that turned into a driving range, basically. They're out there, you know, guys are out there hitting title as Pro B1s as opposed to, you know, right. I think a more fair ball. I think if you want more action, then yeah, you can go somewhere in between where we've been. You know, the playoff ball of this year and then the regular season ball. You know, I think right now in our era and what we're teaching, you're not going to result in more balls in play. You know, you are in the aspect of power. You know, you're going to result in more doubles, more home runs, stuff like that. But as far as choking up and putting the ball in play, you know, Bruce, you were talking about the arbitration process. these guys that get called up know what's getting them paid in arbitration, and it's not singles to the opposite field.
Right.
It's slug, it's OPS, it's home runs, it's, you know, it's all this stuff. So you've created, through this, you've created your own problem, basically, in baseball. Is guys started getting paid for these numbers, and now you're reaping, or you're seeing the, I guess, the negative side of it. Guys are stronger, they're throwing faster. You know, you're preaching more spin rate. You're preaching, you know, you're not worried about location. You're just throwing the ball as hard as you can and spinning it as hard as you can. So that's a perfect storm for, okay, if I make a mistake and a guy clips me, it's a homer. If I don't, I just throw hard enough to where he swings and misses, and now I've got strikeouts, walks, home runs. You know, that's the game we're in right now. I think everything will loop back around. You know, I think owners are always looking for ways to cut costs, and, you know, they'll find a new metric that means more to them than OPS, and that'll change the player into something else. You know, the players are always evolving. The owners are always evolving. So, like I said, I think the game is a big ebbs and flows game, and I think right now we're in one of these, fads of the game, and I think everything will kind of loop back around, hopefully, next couple of years.
John, Matt and I really appreciate you joining us today, and all the best to you and your family. We hope we see you soon. My last question to you is this. When the first player does indeed test positive, how do you think that will follow with the rest of the group? And do you concern yourself with your conversations with teammates and other people in the game as to how the reaction to that will occur and how baseball will handle that?
You know, I think that's kind of a lot of the conversations we're having right now. You know, that's that trust factor in our medical staff. You know, I can speak for the Cubs. We've got a great medical staff that bends over backwards for us and does amazing work. And so if we are getting back and we are playing, you know, we need to have this open line of communication and talking to where if something like this does happen, you know, we need to be informed. I think that's really the big thing for players is we want information as well. You know, you can't just tell us to come back and play and expect us to just to turn our heads and go, okay, yeah, we'll play with this risk. So as long as we have the information and the doctors have a plan for something like this to happen, that makes everybody feel more comfortable. And then, you know, if it does, then we have this protocol in place to where, you know, whatever that may be, quarantine, more testing, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's a long list of things that we can possibly do. But like I said, that's a huge topic of conversation right now with both sides is trying to figure out the steps of which that, you know, kind of how to handle this thing going forward. Everybody's ultimate goal, obviously, is to get back into play. And that's not only for the players and the owners, but for the fans, more importantly, and for the country. I think we all need to take our minds off of what's going on and get back to playing and having sports and trying to get a little bit back to normalcy if we can. So we're all striving to get there, and hopefully we can do that soon. But, you know, just know that it's a process right now, and it may take a minute, but we're trying to get there.
Matt, we appreciate it. I mean, Matt, sorry. John, we appreciate it very much. Hope to see you soon where baseball's being played, and it's being played in a healthy, happy, harmonious way. Thanks again for joining us on Inside the Clubhouse today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.